Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, February 20th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars' James Marino. Broadway Stars is a website.
You're not saying I'm Broadway star James Marino. Yes, BroadwayStars.com.
Yes, exactly. Somebody pointed out to me that they were like, "You're a Broadway star? We've never seen you in anything." And I'm like, No. Broadway Stars is a website.
maybe Broadway Stars is. Maybe that would if you put the extra S for the possession, made it a little clearer. I don't know. But Broadway Stars, you should mention, is probably, if not the oldest, one of the oldest theatrical Broadway websites kicking around the inner tubes.
Yes, that is correct. And it's been a bunch of different things over the years. So right now it's a news aggregator, which means that we go to great sites like Broadway World and Playbill and Theater Mania and a few other things out there and grab all the things and put them on one page so that you can read them in one spot and link out to the articles that you want to get to. And, that's what an aggregator is, kind of like Google News for Broadway.
Yeah, absolutely. Or Bleacher Report, even. We're stopping with that. Anyway, today is President's Day. So whether, I guess actually it's President's Day for most people. The federal government actually doesn't call it President's Day. They just call it Washington's birthday, I believe. So whether you are off today or whether you are trying to figure out what to do with kids who are off today, I hope you think back to all of the wonderful people who have occupied the Oval Office in the first few hundred years of our nation's existence and hope that the person currently sitting there can draw some inspiration and guidance from them.
Let's hope that the person sitting there is not the last president of the United States.
Well, yes, but at some point that transitions into dictator for life, just like it did for Caesar.
Hail Caesar. Stars to assemble for roundabout spring gala next week.
I come not to eulogize. Anyway, last week, the Roundabout Theater Company announced details for next week's 2017 Spring Gala, this time entitled Act 2, Setting the Stage for Roundabout's Future. The gala will take place next Monday, February 27th, in the Grand Ballroom of the Waldorf Astoria. Anytime I see that name of that hotel, it always makes me think of the Muppets. Anyway, the evening will honor the legendary Frank Langella with the Jason Robart Award for Excellence in Theater and Leonard Tao with the Ovation Award for Excellence in Philanthropy. Tony winner Bryan Cranston, who co-starred with Langella in the HBO film adaptation of All the Way, will present the award to his friend. Performing at the event will be the likes of Broadway stars and Roundabout regulars Will Chase, Santino Fontana, Nikki M. James, Jane Krakowski, Kristalyn Lloyd, Constantine Maroulis, Andrea Martin, Ingrid Michelson, Kelly O'Hara, Betsy Wolf, and many more, plus a special surprise finale. The evening will also include appearances by Alec Baldwin, Stephen Levinson, Kate Walsh, and a number of beloved Roundabout alumni who will attend to support the next 50 years of RTC. Tickets range from a single patron ticket at $2,500 to a gala leadership table for 100,000 smackaroos. If you would like to purchase those tickets, you can visit roundabouttheater.org/gala. I know most people listening to this have no interest in buying tickets to these at these ticket prices, but I always think it's fun to include them just to see what the 1% of theater fans are able to afford, James.
Ingrid Michelson, Broadway performer?
Yes, she is a singer, but she is the significant other to one Will Chase. So I don't think they're not married, but they live together and they are a couple. So I figure if Will Chase is going to show up, he might as well bring Ingrid along with him.
I did not know that. Wow, she is an amazing talent. I had no idea that she and Will were together.
Yes, right. They're very, very funny on social media together, back and forth. So definitely give both of them a follow on Twitter if you want to see the inner workings of their relationship.
All right. So next up, Christine Nielsen soldiers on during present laughter rehearsals.
Yeah, James, last week, Kevin Kline and the company began rehearsals for the Broadway revival of Noel Coward's Present Laughter. And while apparently the two-time Tony winner was off book from the get-go, things did not go completely smoothly, as according to Page Six, Kline's co-star Christine Nielsen was heading to the fourth day of rehearsal when she slipped on the ice outside and broke her wrist. However, a source told the Post that after, quote, she popped a few Percocets, she was back at work for day five of rehearsals. Now, James, I can't help but imagine that a Noel Coward comedy might only be helped a little bit by a few Percocets. In fact, Nielsen said, quote, can't wait to see what it feels like to deliver Coward's dialogue on a heavy dose of opiates. Good for her, James. As they say, the show, and I guess rehearsals, must go on. This is a great cast and a great show, and I think this is going to be one of the fun spots of the spring season. We don't get a lot of comedies on Broadway in straight plays. We see a lot of the plays that come to Broadway are dramas or tragedies of some sort, and we just get a couple comedies sprinkled in every year. So I think this will definitely be a fun one for the straight play theater goers this spring.
Normally, Broadway shows don't have the luxury of rehearsing on the stage, but I've been by the St. James Theater a few times this week, and it seems like everything is set to go there. So I wonder if they're rehearsing actually in the St. James or somewhere else.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard anything about that. It's open. They're not coming directly from another show, so I guess they could. And I don't imagine that Present Laughter has a terribly mechanized set.
Yeah.
So they probably could. That'd be interesting.
So, because I'm really wondering where she slipped, if she could.
I don't know if it was at the theater or if it was outside her house. The Post article, the Page Six article, didn't say, but she just said she slipped on some ice. So, if it's at the St. James, who knows? Maybe she could just drop out of the show and sue the theater.
Yeah, Christine, if you're listening, I know a good lawyer. Just inbox me. All right, what's up in this week's theatrical schedule?
Oh, Lord, James, another one of those weeks where everything is going on. So I'm just going to run through them really quickly, give you a little bit of information. If you want more, you know how to use the Google. All right, opening tonight, the new West End production of Michael John Lacusa's The Wild Party, starring Francis Raffel, Donna McKechnie, and John Owen Jones, and many, many more. Then on Wednesday, we have a number of openings. The first is Roundabout's off-Broadway premiere of If I Forget, starring Kate Walsh and Jeremy Shamos, which we've talked about a number of times. And then over at the Vineyard Theater, the new John Kander and Greg Pierce musical Kid Victory officially opens. Also on Wednesday, probably earlier than those two off-Broadway openings, the West End revival of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf begins previews over at the Harold Pinter Theater. That includes Imelda Staunton, Imogen Poots, Conleth Hill, and Luke Treadaway. Then on Thursday, of course, the Hudson Theater will officially reopen with the first official performance of the second Broadway revival of Sunday in the Park with George, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Annalee Ashford, Robert Sean Leonard, Ruthie Ann Miles, Brooks Ash Manskis, Aaron Davey, Claiborne Elder, Philip Boykin, Ashley Park, and more. I'm sure, as well, long as James gives me the approval to talk about them. We'll have the reviews on Thursday night. Our friend Andrew Kober, who is an understudy in the show, went on over the weekend and just the fifth preview with no rehearsals. Apparently he didn't break anything or ruin the show, so congrats to him. Also on Thursday, over at Lincoln Center, previews begin for How to Transcend a Happy Marriage, starring Lena Hall, James, be careful, and Marissa Tomei. Then on Friday, previews begin for the Public Theater's production of John Leguizamo's Latin History for Morons, which can only be awesome because it's John Leguizamo. Then on Saturday, back over across the pond, previews begin for Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead at the Old Vic, starring Joshua McGuire as Guildenstern and as Rosencrantz. It's a new actor, Daniel Radcliffe, Daniel Radcliffe, yes, starring as Rosencrantz in that classic absurdist play. Also on Saturday, previews begin north of the border for the new Broadway-bound Maltby and Shire musical Suzatska in Toronto, which, of course, stars Vicky Clark, Montego Glover, and Judy Kaye. Of course, this show is produced also by the infamous Garth Drabinski, and there is just so much drama going on with this show before it has even played a performance, and I'm really excited to see what people think north of the border.
So, good rumors coming out of north of the border about Suzatska, or however we're pronouncing it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm interested to see how it hits with a public audience because, you know, it's an insular audience right now. Only the insiders are talking about it right now. So I wouldn't expect that. Well, you know, you sometimes hear bad things from the insiders as well. But along the lines of first world problems, we need a service. What do everybody else do out there to schedule all these shows? I need some help here because it's just the scheduling of this is ridiculous. To see all these shows, and we're going to have to, like I said, we're going to have to get an alternate partner for you in crime as these things start launching because I can't do the daily show and see these shows at the same time. All right. Next up, the NEA officially on the chopping block as Trump budget moves forward.
Yeah. On Thursday, a divided Senate confirmed Representative Mick Mulvaney of South Carolina to be President Trump's – I almost stumbled over that. It's hard for me to say – to be Trump's new budget director. Known as being a hardline budget hawk, on Friday, Director Mulvaney took his red pen and started slashing domestic spending. Of course, none of this is official until the budget is approved. But according to reports from the New York Times, the new administration is looking to reprioritize the government's spending and focus on defense and infrastructure. That means that things like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Legal Services Corporation, AmeriCorps, and National Endowment for the Arts and Humanities are expected to be eliminated. Those programs all cost less than $500 million annually, which of course is a lot of money, but that puts them at each about 0.01% of the projected $4 trillion annual budget, pretty much like a quarter of a drop in the bucket. While these programs, which have been long targets for fiscally conservative Republicans, are not necessarily surprises, there are a few proposed eliminations that did draw a few raised eyebrows, including the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, which dispenses grants to reduce drug use and drug trafficking. Also, the Export and Import Bank is rumored to be on its way out, which is an organization that has guaranteed loans to foreign customers of American companies, making it easier for them to purchase American-made products for over 83 years. The total savings for these organizations would be $2.5 billion annually, and while that is a tiny total in the grand budgetary scheme, the administration is planning to highlight these agencies as examples of a misuse of taxpayer dollars. An internal memo circulated within the Office of Budget and Management on Tuesday and obtained by the New York Times notes that this list could change. Proposals for more extensive cuts in cabinet-level agencies are also expected to follow. Now, James, I rarely, if ever, have anything particularly insightful to say, and thus is the case here because far more knowledgeable and intelligent people on these matters have had plenty to say already. In fact, my Broadway World colleague, Alexa Cristosello, published a great article yesterday highlighting official statements from leading theaters and arts organizations around the country. I'll put that in the show notes as well if you want to check out to see what these groups say about the potential loss of the NEA. But, man, this isn't particularly insightful, but this sucks.
Yeah, if you are listening to this podcast, Rob emailed over to me a link to the article that you just talked about from Alexa. It was very insightful, so I encourage everybody to read this article. It's really a ton of work and insightful as to what we should be keeping our eyes out insofar as this. And on the other note, you know, they just approved an EPA cabinet chief that doesn't want the EPA, so it could be the EPA is gone soon anyway, so we really don't need that anyway.
Yeah, well, you remember back in the day when you could actually drink water?
Drink water.
And, whatever.
On This Week on Broadway, Michael Portantier gave his review of Newsies on the big screen, so let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, one of the great things that has come out of this Newsies on the big screen thing is that I'm getting – talking to people online – that across the country, New Hampshire, Illinois, Missouri, their theaters are sold out. And not like sold out like, there's like it's hard to find four seats together. Like legit sold out so much. So I think I mentioned it last week. I went and saw it on Saturday. I saw it at Disney Springs, at the AMC at Disney Springs. But the first theater that they were going to do it in sold out. So they added a second theater, which also sold out. It is doing incredibly well. As we know, just a month or two ago when they did Allegiance in the movie theaters, Fathom reported that that was the best-selling Broadway musical for the big screen that they've done. I would imagine, obviously, with multiple performances of this one, that this will smash that. So it's doing great business, but also it's just a wonderfully filmed musical. Jeremy Jordan, Kara Lindsey, Ben Frankhauser, and Andrew Keenan-Bolger, the original stars of the show, came back and joined the tour. And they are all maybe a little bit older, but they are all still fantastic. I don't know what it is, James. When you look at this story, it's not anything super emotional. There's no one dying. It's nothing, that really tugs at the traditional emotions. But there is something innately powerful and moving about this musical that gets me every time. There's just, when they start rallying together and going on strike, I get choked up, and Watch What Happens does it to me as well. So I love this. As I say, most of the time when these things are filmed, James, I wish they had gone a little easier on the quick cuts and the extreme close-ups during the group choreo numbers. But overall, it was really, really fantastic, and I enjoyed it. And having not seen it on Broadway, having only seen the tour, I really appreciated seeing those stars in the role, as everybody knows. Love Jeremy Jordan. Everybody loves Jeremy Jordan, but I've also got a huge crush on Kara Lindsey. So that was a lot of fun to see. And Easter egg alert, which is a Disney kind of thing. Apparently, during the song That's Rich, when Meta Larkin is singing, if you look over, I believe, I guess it would be stage right as you're watching movie House Left. Apparently, in one scene, you can see Jeremy Jordan's stand-in there because he was shooting Supergirl and couldn't make it for when they were kind of doing some extra numbers. And you can see his stand-in, which is always kind of cool. The Newsies on the big screen will play one more time Wednesday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. local time. We'll have a link in the show notes over to the Fathom website so you can check out where it's playing near you. But, James, this is exciting. I don't know what happens next. I'm sure they'll do some sort of online or maybe DVD release. Nothing has been confirmed. But I just love the fact that not only was this good, but that a lot of people are going to see it.
Well, it just goes to show you that the fanzies are not fake news. They're real.
Fake newsies? They're fake fanzies? What can we do? Yeah, no, they're definitely not. And in fact, I don't know if this happened. Let us know if this happened at a theater where you were at. When I got there fairly early, I mean, 15, 20 minutes early, and someone handed us as we came in a survey. It looked like it was specifically for, I couldn't really tell if it was for Fathom or for Disney Theatrical, maybe both. So I was interested in that. One of my Broadway World colleagues who lives here in Orlando, she actually went on Thursday, went again on Saturday, and we were in the same theater, and she said they did not give it to her on Thursday, but they did on Saturday. So I'm interested if that was just a local thing here in Orlando, if there were others around the country. So let us know if you got one of those surveys as well. I'm interested to know about that.
All right. So why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something to Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. We will have our Wish, Want, and Will Oscars episode coming up this week. So you won't want to miss that as you start to fill out your Oscar pool.
Excellent. And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com.
got the .com in there this time.
Yeah, I tripped over that, didn't I? Happy President's Day. We hope that you are off and reflecting back on the great presidents that you have liked in the previous before today. And we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.